Welcome to the Esports Business Network podcast. I'm Trent Knox, the founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I'll be your host on episode number 53 of the EBN podcast. EBNP number 53. Our guest is Trevor Bernicking, director of Esports Intramurals at Buena Vista University. In this episode, we talk about Trevor's journey into leadership of a collegiate esports program, the process of building a program from scratch, and what direction education in esports is heading. Enjoy.
This is the future. Evolution. This is the future.
Welcome back to another Esports Business Network podcast. I'm your host, Trent Knox. We're joined today with Trevor Bernicking from Buena Vista University Esports. He's the director of esports and intramurals. Welcome to the show, Trevor.
Thank you, Trent. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, and I've been kind of interviewing a multitude of people in the collegiate esports space, and it's been interesting to see the growth, rapid growth. It's been over the course of just 2021, the first quarter and the second quarter, and we're entering into quarter three of 2021 to kind of put a time stamp on this podcast a little bit so that people can look back and reference in the future and say, well, what was collegiate esports like back then? But before we jump into Buena Vista University esports, I want to get to know Trevor a little bit more. Trevor, when did you first get into gaming?
It's kind of funny. I mean, I grew up in the Nintendo era. I have a twin brother, and we, you know, played on our Nintendo quite a bit. But we grew up in northern Minnesota, so we did a lot of outdoors things as well. We were big on traditional sports. We both played college football, you know, played basketball and baseball in high school, and then gamed kind of on the side in the evenings and stuff. But, you know, moving to college, played a little bit with our roommates and stuff like that. And then once I left college, I honestly didn't game that much from then until now. I was a director of recreation for about 5 years at BV. And then our president was looking into starting an esports program. So he came to myself and another coworker to see if we would want to do some research on esports and if it would be something that we wanted to bring to our university. So to be honest, it's changed so much. I game a very, very little. So I'm learning a lot. We started a program about a little over a year ago, and right during the pandemic. So, you know, I wasn't even on campus when we announced that we were starting an esports program, and then they asked me if I would be the director, and I was like, why not? I mean, something new for me to learn, something exciting, and something that was growing. I mean, within Iowa, you know, Grandview, Morningside, Northwestern, Grandview especially is a pillar of starting an esports program at the collegiate level. So it was something I thought that would be exciting and new and bring a lot of growth to our university. So we announced we were getting a program, and then, you know, just put a room together. We have about an 850 square foot arena and utilized students on campus last year to do a little bit of gaming in the spring, but really focused on recruiting last year to get our numbers up and start heavy gaming this fall. So my experience in gaming is very little, but I'm learning a lot as we move along and move forward. And, you know, the students know a lot about the gaming side. So, you know, I utilize them a lot to help me with different things. But I just, you know, kind of help steer this ship in the right direction and give them an opportunity to compete and have fun and meet new people.
Well, there's a lot of follow-up questions to what you were just talking about there. And so, you know, you talked about kind of the diversity of gaming and the knowledge of all of the components and different gaming modes and gaming types and genres within gaming. It's a learning process, a huge learning curve, especially for someone who's expected to do so much. Yeah. How are you, you know, it's something that in the collegiate space is talked about a lot in, you know, conversations behind the scenes and even on this podcast. And so you mentioned you were a gamer growing up, that you, after college, you kind of hadn't spent much time gaming, and now you're, you know, in the hot seat and having to kind of learn all these different games very fast.
Yeah.
The type of games that you were playing growing up, were they like sports games, first person shooters, that type of genre, or where were you at when that? In that case,
it was, you know, it started out with Super Mario, and then, you know, moved into another game called Contra, which was a kind of a first person shooter game. Uh-huh. Played some Little League World Series with my brother and friends. You know, Tecmo Super Bowl was a big one back then. Uh-huh. As well. And then, you know, my roommates in college had like a Nintendo 64 and stuff like that. So we played, yeah, a little bit of, you know, like NHL hockey. And then, mm-hmm, I think the dorm right next door, they had a one of the very first Xbox, I think. And we played Halo, mm-hmm, a little bit in our spare time. But, you know, that's about the extent. I've played a little bit of Call of Duty. Oh, 007 was big back then too. Mm-hmm. GoldenEye. So, you know, those are the games that I was familiar with. You know, it's changed so much now with the online platforms and, you know, being able to compete against other people online and having teams and all that stuff. Yeah, you could have teams back then, but it was, you know, you're sitting right next to your teammate or your yeah, opponents, you know, right there. So, you know, learning all the intricacies of, you know, the online part of it now, of like, how do you stream, you know, all that types of stuff that we didn't grow up doing and I've never really done. But thankfully, you know, 99.9% of students probably know something about streaming. So they helped me out in that aspect. And, you know, so far it's been a good experience for me. It's energized me again to learn something new, start something new, and to see, you know, the joy that they get out of, you know, just competing even and having fun, even if they're not winning per se. You can see the joy of learning something new, getting an opportunity to compete still, because everybody has a little bit of competitive fire within themselves. So giving maybe the non-traditional sport person the opportunity, you know, to do something they love, is a awesome. And I think the collegiate space is a great place for it.
Interesting. Toward the end of this podcast, I'm asking you a few controversial things, and I hope that you'll be able to, you know, kind of give me some insight on that. Cause the thing you mentioned right there is something that I've recently heard people kind of, give some pushback on the collegiate side of, really? Of esports. So I'd be interested to kind of hear your take on that, because, but we'll get there. So
yeah,
you mentioned a lot, that the students and the people joining your this is why I better ask this question first. Is your program part of student life, or is it part of the athletics department? How does that work over at BV?
Right now we're part of student life. Mm-hmm. we just got a new vice president for student success, who starts in August. And then we just got a new athletic director as well. So it could change, based on what they think, where I fit. I think that's a struggle on all campuses, is where does esports fit within, the scope of things. I'm a traditional sport guy, so I feel like esports fits more on the athletic side, just because you're recruiting, you're competing, you're practicing, you're doing all these things similar to athletics. And our program isn't necessarily open to every student on campus. So we do have, you know, tryouts and stuff like that, but we don't have the space to like just let everybody and anybody come in and play. So we have to be strategic on the numbers that we have and whatnot. So we do do some in-house tournaments and stuff that they can utilize the space there, but it's more scheduled out rather than just saying, here, it's open, come play.
And so, as you mentioned, you come from a traditional sports background, and I think you mentioned collegiate football, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, did you ever go the direction of professional football? Did you do the draft and everything?
No, I played a smaller Division II. You know, knew I didn't have the size, and you know, just didn't feel like I needed to put my body through any more than what it already had been through. So I focused on another route and went into sports information, and was a sports information director for about 10 years before I moved to BV and became the director of rec, and then now the director of esports. So I was in the traditional sports side for a long, long time. And then when I got to BV, I was able to start coaching again at the collegiate. Like I coached a little bit when I first got out of college, and then now that I was back at BV, I was able to jump on as like a part-time coach for the football team. So I've been doing that for the last 6 years as well. Not sure if I'll have the time to do it moving forward, but it was, you know, something that I enjoy. I love football, and that's kind of where my background is.
Yeah, your story is really complex, and kind of aligns exactly with the struggle I think that collegiate esports is facing. With that dichotomy, you actually have a lot of professional experience on that recreational side with the more gaming world, but you have more than the average person's skill set to do the professional side with esports. So you mentioned sports data, and I don't mean to derail this from collegiate a little bit, but what are some of the similarities you see between what you need in sports data to what you need in esports data?
Well, I mean, when I was a sports information director and we took stats for, you know, all the teams, and they have, you know, slugging percentages and 3-point shooting percentages and scoring averages and all that stuff, I think, you know, I'm not exactly sure if there probably is, and I just don't know about it. There's probably some sort of software out there that can analyze how many kills you have per round and what your accuracy is and all that stuff. I think that's just as important to show players as it is for, you know, free throw percentage in a basketball game. So I think the data is relative. I think it's how to use it. Some coaches on the traditional sports side, it's just there for, you know, fans to look at, and other coaches utilize it, you know, to help break down other teams and vice versa. And I think you could do the same thing in esports world. Now, like I said, I'm still figuring out all that stuff, but I think it's probably out there. I just don't know about it.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite movies is Moneyball. Yeah. And, you know, they talk about it's not home runs, it's getting players on base.
Right.
In your program, what does that mean? How do you find success for students?
You know, that's a good question. I think right now in our program and where we're at, success for students is getting them, giving them an opportunity to first meet new people, learn skills that they're going to need outside of the when they move on into a job or whatever, communication, teamwork, problem solving, integrated learning, like giving them hands-on opportunities to do things within our program where they are learning outside of just gaming. I think the communication and the gaming is very important. Teamwork is important. So having those, and if they're able to learn some of those skills to begin with within our program, I think that's a success. I think, getting teams like our Rocket League team to support our Rainbow Six team and vice versa is a success. Just like in an athletics department, you want your football team to go to basketball games and you want your basketball players to go to football games. You want to be a cohesive unit, even though you're playing different sports. You want to be able to support one another and help out where needed. So if we need somebody to help set up a stream for Rainbow Six and Rocket League's not playing, hopefully those Rocket League players will be, yeah, I'm there to help do that. So right now I think that's kind of the successes we look at as far as building a culture, of a good community and where people want to be, the people get along, and then winning hopefully will come as we, develop that culture.
It's interesting. This podcast has kind of tried, not this particular episode, but the podcast in general has taken a lot of different shapes, and I wouldn't have seen it being this in this world, collegiate esports, as much. But what I've found is that the commercial side of esports is very, very it's exclusive in a sense. It's only the top 1%. And probably the top 1% of the 1% that find a lot of success in this business. And so seeing programs like yours and the collegiate scene making a larger investment into the economy of esports, and then subsequently secondary education, high schools and middle schools, and recreational departments from the government, and more government contracts coming in than there are sponsorship and activation deals from the big non-endemic companies that are paying for tier one or mainstream developer tournaments that not everybody can participate in, but more people can participate in the programs like yours, or like the high schools and middle schools and the recreational departments. And since I don't know what this effect will have on esports, because esports has kind of been an outlier thus far, but the NCAA's was it a new decision or new understanding that collegiate players can now gain endorsements and get paid for playing. And so do you see a future of that for esports players? I mean, it's kind of already exists, but at scale.
I mean, I think there's an opportunity for that to be happening right now. If especially if you're a school, obviously like a Boise State or Northwood or some of those schools that are more recognizable at this moment, I think, or Maryville, I think, those players probably could do it now, because there's really nobody sanctioning them saying they can't. It's not like the NCAA where they have a bunch of rules. I mean, there's definitely rules within esports, but when it comes to making money and winning money in tournaments and stuff like that, there are no rules. So I think it could most definitely happen. And I would be interested to see if that's something that's going to start happening on the collegiate side, or if it's more on the professional side right now that are making, you know, the sponsorships and endorsement type deals.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I mean, if professional teams are able to expand into collegiate, because they have, there's multiple different professional organizations that have moved into the collegiate space, at least in a partnership component with a lot of universities. Do they essentially sign them to an agreement saying like they're part of, you know, this organization, a commitment of sorts to this organization after they've completed their 4 years through the, maybe it's a, you know, maybe they considered a training program, or something like that. I mean, the vocabulary and whatnot for this, it hasn't been, developed so far, but it was an interesting thought I was having right there for a second. And so kind of going back a little bit, cause we kind of moved towards that professional conversation. Since your program is kind of a hybrid program at this time, how are you teaching those skills like building an online media presence, having gaming assets for YouTube, for social media, for, you know, just building up a marketable portfolio for if they choose to go down a gaming and esports career pathway?
Yeah, I mean, that's something, we're still working on a little bit. I mean, most of the social media stuff within BVU comes from myself. I'm a one-man band, basically. When we started talking about esports on campus, we had a couple of students that were very interested in starting the program. So one of them is going to be a senior. So I've created a paid internship for him to help coach some of the games that he's familiar with, like League of Legends, Rainbow Six, and give him those experiences while he's at BVU. And also another thing that he's going to be tasked with my help is, you know, hosting hopefully some sort of high school tournament next spring on campus. We have, quite a few high schools within our area, around Storm Lake that have programs that we could probably get 6 to 8 teams to come to our campus and compete. So that's another thing that he is going to help me with. I also, offered, we offer a little bit of scholarship money. It's not a ton, but we have a little bit to offer. But I offered a student out of Denver, Colorado, a scholarship to help with the administrative part of things. So like if we travel, helping with setting up meals, hotels, but also helping on the social media side as well. And then we have, a couple players that are coming in that are very interested in helping with developing graphics for our streams, creating stuff like that. So, that's kind of where we're at right now, trying to give them opportunities to develop some portfolio stuff to help them if they want to go into the esports scene. Down the road, I would love to start an academic program within esports, like some of the other schools around the country. Like Shenandoah, I feel like does a pretty good job of, with their esports management program and giving those students hands-on learning opportunities within their program. So hopefully at some point we can get that started as well. Might not be hopefully in the next 3 to 5 years, but, or sooner. But that's kind of some goals that I have for the program. And then just really giving students, talking with them, asking what they want to get out of this. Is it just to play, or is it to meet new people? Is it something they're really interested in? And then figuring out how we can help them get to where they want to be as a player, as a professional, you know, when they move on from BVU, what is their ultimate goal within esports? Because you have ranges from just like, you know, football. You have kids that just want to be in it because it's something to do. You want, and then you have kids that are taking it really serious and want to, you know, possibly go do something within esports. So just having those discussions with those kids too, to help them, you know, help them get to where they want to be when they do graduate.
There's a lot of things there to unpack as well, because one of the things that I've always been concerned about programs that are not competitive is that they kind of preach this message that kind of doesn't give any like, it doesn't give a vision or some direction in it being an opportunity to be in the space. And a lot of programs kind of are along the lines that it's almost just kind of, it's almost a way for the universities to just kind of say, we have a program, but and it doesn't really, it's just a marketing tactic. It's not really, you know, going to get anybody anywhere. And I think you're in a kind of a league of your own in many ways. And there are not many people that match with what you just mentioned about, you know, OTJ, on the job training opportunities, you know, in campus jobs, and the talk about scholarships as well. That's one thing. It's really interesting because most programs are set in a way where they have maybe a student with a, you know, campus job, and he's the only person, and he's expected to, you know, get 20 to 30 volunteers to run the program. And so to hear success stories like what you're talking about, I'm really impressed by what you guys have done. And the support from, you know, BV sounds like it's there compared to a lot of other places that are just using go ahead.
I mean, I think the biggest struggle I've had is, you know, the president that announced getting esports, he left shortly after we announced it. So then the pandemic, we were in the pandemic. So our new president was, you know, crazy year figuring out, you know, everything from isolation, quarantine, all that stuff, and testing.
Right.
So my biggest thing is, I know what my vision is for the program. What is the school's overall vision? I feel like sometimes, good or bad, they start these programs to get more students, to hopefully retain them better. But we have to have more of a vision than just that. And not only myself, but the higher ups. Like, what is our goal for starting esports? Is it just to say we have it, or is it just to give them these opportunities? And my vision is to give them opportunities to learn and grow and compete and hopefully win, you know, in a few years down the road, or even sooner than that would be great. But, you know, I've pushed saying we need, if we're going to be successful, we need coaches. Like, we need people that know about the games way more than, you know, obviously than I do. It's not any different than a baseball team or a soccer team or whatever. You know, if you're going to be successful, you need to have the right staffing in place to give those students that experience that they deserve. So,
yeah, I mean, Nadja, you mentioned that, you know, the struggles and obstacles that came with the pandemic. I imagine that retaining students, you know, admissions and all of these different things that align themselves with a program like gaming and esports that can coexist in an online and an offline world. And so, that's the story you told about the student in Denver. Is he a remote student, or is he you know, where you are at BV?
She's actually a female, and she'll actually be on campus. Yeah. So she'll start as a freshman this fall on campus. I haven't heard anything different, but I think our campus in general is going to be pretty much all in person.
In person.
Yep. Yep. Maybe some remote, but most of it's going to be in person this year, from unless something really changes from now till, you know, the end of August.
So. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because a lot of schools built these online programs, and for them to adopt an esports and gaming program would, in my mind, it seems like a good idea to retain students and keep them, you know, I mean, let's just face it, going to college is a business. Yep. People pay to go. So and retaining gets the tuitions paid. Yep. So, so with the programs now, you mentioned, you mentioned Rainbow Six. I think you mentioned Rocket League.
Yep.
What are all the programs again that you guys are all the esports that you're competing in?
So this coming fall, we plan on playing League of Legends, Rocket League, Rainbow Six, and still up in the air, but leaning towards Call of Duty. Call of Duty or Valorant is kind of the next game that the students are most interested in. And then we have, you know, some kids playing solo, possibly Fortnite, Madden, FIFA, and 2K. So it's quite a variety, but the team games that we focus on are the four that I mentioned first, League of Legends, Rocket League, Rainbow Six, and Call of Duty.
And so when you mentioned a little bit that you're working with the university to try and work towards having coaches for those four teams, are there currently coaches, just unpaid coaches, working on those things, those programs?
Well, we have the student intern who's, you know, he's going to be a senior. He will be the League of Legends Rainbow Six coach. And then we have a younger guy in admissions who's going to help with Rocket League and Call of Duty. He is not paid. And then you have myself. So, and then, you know, any student leader that may become, you know, shows up as maybe a leader, somebody that's interested in coaching or taking on a captain role or whatever, could possibly be a student coach or something like that as well within their game. But that's to be seen. You know, we have 25 new kids coming in and about 25 returning. So we have about 50 kids to intermix and see who's the leaders and who are the followers, and figure out what's the best solution to make them play the best and learn as much as they can.
Yeah. For a startup program, you're a lot farther ahead than most startup programs.
It's great.
Yeah. And what's interesting about that is that, the recruiting process, it sounds like you don't have to do too much recruiting. I mean, there's not much you can't do. Your hands are kind of tied in a way, and they're kind of not, in the sense that not having those coaches to be like, okay, we got to replace someone, you know, and move on. And so when it comes to recruiting, you mentioned a little bit that you're looking to go to a high school and set up a tournament.
Hoping we can bring high schools to BV and host a tournament on campus is our hope. You know, as far as recruiting does go, if you don't mind me diving in a little bit about it, it wasn't too hard this year. But that's because we had a high goal that they wanted us to get. They wanted us to get 20 new students for esports. And realistically, I was just like, okay, anybody interested, I don't care what your you know, your rank is. I don't care any of that. I just want people that want to help build a program and build a culture. I'm hoping those numbers will go down and then we can start focusing a little bit more on talent rather than numbers alone, because that's the only way you're going to win. Yeah, you would need to keep people around, but you also need to get people that have played in some competitive matches and stuff like that. Because, you know, when we competed last year, I would say almost all the students that competed, it was their first time competing against another team or playing in a tournament or anything like that. They usually just play online with friends. So it's a little different atmosphere than just, you know, showing up at 8 o'clock at night and playing with your buddies. So it was not a terribly difficult year to get students to play since we're new and they're excited about it. But I think with more schools adding in, it's just going to be more competitive and recruiting is going to get harder. To get some of the better players for sure.
I guess it'll be the first controversial question. You know, I grew up in traditional sports playing Texas football and played esports alongside sort of when I was attending Texas State University. And so this space, you mentioned that these kids are, it might be their first time competing. How do they approach discipline? Because this is something that I think culturally in this space, there's a lot of there's a lot of different perspectives on how people are supposed to behave, and so I'm just curious as to how that works, because it's a lot of there's a lot of expectations versus casual gaming when it comes to competing.
Yeah, I think. First, when it comes to discipline, the first thing I think about is, you know, being a good teammate, working together the best you can. And that's, like I said, however that may be, we really don't know because it's going to be our first big year of playing. But I can speak to, like, our Rainbow Six team was a team that kind of took off in the spring, and they did a pretty good job of working as a team. But when it comes to like discipline within the game, as far as one person maybe going out on their own on a certain thing and getting killed right away, sometimes the discipline there wasn't the best. So figuring out different strategies to make sure that the team is working the best they can together. You know, I think being disciplined when it comes to not being toxic towards your own teammates or your opponents. I think we ran into a little bit of an issue more so with some of the bigger schools that were probably more of a club based and didn't have maybe some leadership from the higher ups that they got on and were talking about things that to me, they're probably just being dumb, but some of our players got all heated about it and saying they shouldn't be saying that, they shouldn't be doing that. So trying to let our players know, like, be disciplined, don't let them get in your head. You haven't even started the match, like, focus on yourselves, you know, that type of thing. I think discipline is, there's a lot of different things, showing up to play and practice when you should be practicing, coming in focused and leaving whatever is going on outside the room, leave it there until you're done. You know, just a lot of different things, doing the right things on the weekends. You know, being disciplined is something that is the whole program, really. Like, to be successful, you have to be disciplined in your academics. You got to be disciplined in your social life. You got to be disciplined when it comes to working with your teammates, disciplined within game and how you guys decide you're going to play this map. Like, be disciplined on how you decide to play it and do it that way. And if something didn't work, then try and figure out how we can change it. So I know it's a long answer, but that's kind of where I go with discipline within a program.
Yeah. I mean, earlier I mentioned that I was concerned about programs that do the hybrid esports club, you know, student affairs, athletics situation, because it can lead to the administration basically telling the person who's ahead of the esports department to, you know, calm down on and don't be so competitive, right? don't take it so seriously. Yeah. And for someone who's taken sports seriously growing up, it really does, you know, wear on, you know, it messes with me a little bit, because there isn't a lot of kids that are joining these programs that have never participated in competitive environments.
Yep.
And so, you know, there's a lot of things, and I might be, you know, going out on a limb here in this industry by saying that not everyone deserves a trophy, you know? And I don't want that to be a part of the esports and gaming industry as well. And so when I hear about, you know, some of these issues that people are faced with, you know, that was my first controversial question. The second controversial question is kind of on the administrative side that I'm hearing a lot lately is, and Jacob brought this up, and Jacob, thank you for connecting me and Trevor, was Jacob Johnson, that he's been hearing a lot lately that administrators have been saying, if you can't afford to go to college, then collegiate esports isn't right for you. So, I mean, programs like yours sound good, they're on the right track because, you know, they're thinking about scholarships, they're thinking mm-hmm. about, you know, on-campus jobs and things like that. But what do you think about that sort of, you know, mindset from the administrators that if you can't pay, then you don't get to play?
Well, it's not any different than an athlete, like a football right. player or a basketball player. I think there has to be, you know, everybody should have the opportunity to go to college. I don't care if you come from a, you know, struggling family or you're a wealthy family. I don't really care where you fall there, but everybody should have the opportunity. And I think it's our responsibility as administrators and stuff to let them know what they're going to be paying, which I think most schools do a pretty good job, what they're going to be paying up front if they come to your school. Mm-hmm. And then if they decide to do that, help them figure out a way to pay for it. And I know we try and offer as much as we can. I think some of it is on the student themselves for not taking initiative, and that's not always on the student, but their parents might not understand because it's a first gen or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think as like myself as a coach, I think it's important for me to make sure my players are set up to succeed. And mm-hmm. if we don't tell them what they're going to pay or what they're going to, you know, what kind of scholarship opportunities they have, we're doing them a disservice. So I don't like saying like, if you can't pay, you can't play. I think it's our anybody that works at a, you know, higher ed institution, we should be helping them as much as we can. Even as a freshman, if it's dragging them up to the business office and say, okay, let's figure this out. So you can stay here, get an education, play esports, and have a good experience. Because if we don't, then they go home and tell their friends like, they didn't help me with anything, it was an awful experience, and that's bad on us. So if we give them all those opportunities to do that, like succeed, and give them opportunities to get loans and all that stuff, and show them what they need to do, and they still can't do it, then at least maybe they say, yeah, they helped me out, it just didn't work out. So I struggle if somebody says, well, if they can't pay, they can't play. Well, let's try and figure something out to help them out so they can play and have fun. Because especially a lot of kids, you know, I see it in football all the time, that come from, you know, different states, and then they come to Iowa. It's a very different culture. So we as administrators and coaches and faculty and staff need to help them feel as comfortable as possible. And that's helping them with the figuring out payment plans, but also getting them connected with people in the community, BV community, Storm Lake community, and make sure they feel as at home as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to thank you for coming on the podcast. As we wrap it up here, I want to let the audience know, how can they get connected with you? And also for the students that are listening out there, what would be a good way for them to look into your program and potentially become a part of it?
Yeah, you can, directly email me at, burnakingt@bvu.edu. You can go to bvu.edu and search esports and find all your information there. We have, we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, BVU esports, pretty simple. And then we're also on our athletics website. So you can go to our athletics website, find esports, and we have coaches, rosters, schedules, some stories, stuff like that. About our program. If you're interested, reach out. We're looking for people, always looking for people and good quality individuals that want to help build a program and get us to where we can compete with the Boise States and Northwoods and those types of schools.
Awesome. Once again, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been Trevor Burnaking and Buena Vista University Esports. This is in the Esports Business Network podcast. Thank you for listening.
Hey, y'all. It's Trent Knox, founder and CEO of Esports Business Network. I want to say thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're finding value in the podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you share the podcast to your network and write a positive review on your preferred podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, feel free to make a contribution to our working capital accounts on Cash App or PayPal. Our username is ESPORTSBIZNET. That's Esports BizNet on both platforms. As always, we'd love for you to join our community and platform at https://www.evn.gg. You can take advantage of a free subscription to our bronze membership by following the directions on the homepage. Part of the bronze membership is access to our Discord server and private membership channels. The conversation only evolves with participation from esports entrepreneurs like yourself. We need to hear about your esports business to understand how we can move the industry forward as a community. You can also join the community by joining the Facebook and LinkedIn groups. An additional goal of EBN is to move the conversation forward on your preferred social media platform. So as a last note, don't forget to follow us on social media for current events, news, and other esports related topics. Follow and subscribe to Esports Business Network on social media. Looking forward to networking with you very soon.